what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Here comes the. Live from the ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM studios, this is the Gregeth and Hooks Show. Call the show 402-466-3776. Your teams, your town, your show. Here are your hosts, Nick Gregeth and Bill Hooks.
All right, let's do this. Happy Friday. Welcome into Gregeth and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. I am Nick Gregeth. Hooksy is out today. His little kiddo's got a day off, so he is out. He is he's playing dad. He's got the kids running around town doing stuff with him over at his other job. So Hooksy out today. Thew Malone is in the house. He's starting a vacation today, so I've never seen you more relaxed. This is good.
About 24 hours from now, I'm going to be starting to get on a plane to head down to Arizona, where they have absolutely none of that white stuff that you see outside.
Yeah, that'll be good, man.
I'm super excited.
Get the old bones all healthy and rested from not being in the cold air.
But that also means that you and Bill are going to have perfect attendance next week.
Oh, no. God, no. I'm hoping to be sick like 2 days at least. We'll see. I don't know. I think we're losing Willie J all next week maybe, too. He's on spring break. Are you going anywhere, Willie J, or what are you doing?
Yeah, we're heading up to Colorado.
Wow, that's gonna be that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's gonna be a fun trip for you.
So Neo,
you love the outdoors.
Love the mountains, man.
Yeah.
Mountains are medicine.
That'll be good. Are you gonna be fishing a lot while you're up there?
I don't know if we'll be doing some fishing.
Quit winking at me. It's creepy.
We might do some skiing.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to go skiing, hiking, all the good stuff.
Nice, dude. That'll be fun. Well, you enjoy the trip. That'll be good. Definitely. We have a lot going. You're going to miss Miles probably getting fired next week.
Oh, man.
Is what you're going to miss.
I want to be here for that.
I know. You'll have to call in from Colorado and
definitely
give us your take.
I'll get some locals' takes in Colorado.
Yeah, if you guys missed it, and we got a lot to get to on the show today. We're going to be giving away a ton of movie tickets. We got Matt Quintero coming in here in a little while. We'll talk about the new Marvel movie. It's Captain Marvel that came out. I'll tell you this. Captain Marvel is going to be setting up for the next 10 years worth of Marvel movies.
Okay.
Because she's going to be one of the, she'll be like the Iron Man-esque figurehead of the Avengers moving forward and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
man,
it'll be really fun to kind of see how everything goes through.
I kind of like Iron Man being there.
I do too, but eventually you got to shift that thing out. We don't want a 68-year-old Iron Man running around out there doing stuff. I'm sure they'll have little cameos, but so we'll get to that. That movie came out this weekend. It's going to be breaking records. It's setting up for next month when we've got Infinity War coming out.
Oh, yeah.
More importantly, we're going to have Winter is finally here. We're going to have Game of Thrones. Oh, my God. I can't wait. I am my wife and I have been talking about how fired up we are for these last 6 episodes of Game of Thrones.
I really don't watch that show.
Oh, it's awesome, dude.
I heard it's good.
You watch the first season, you'll end up watching 7, and that's all you'll do for the next month. Okay. It's awesome.
Willie, I've never seen an episode of it either.
Okay. You're missing it.
Let's watch together then.
All right.
You're missing it. All the guys, that's what, who is it? I think it was Prater and a couple of the guys said there's one scene in Game of Thrones where Jon Snow pulls out his sword to fight like an army of people running at him. You've probably seen the GIF up on Twitter a bunch and that kind of stuff. They like to make fun of me, and they're like, that's Nick's batting stance, basically, because he's all ready to... It's really funny.
The only thing I see on social media is when you superimpose everyone's head onto weird figurines.
That's right. It's a lot of fun.
You put in good work with that.
Thank you. I would like to think that I have a talent to make GIFs and funny ones at that.
If there is a job.
One thing on this planet that I'm adequate at, it is that. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
That's awesome.
Hey, so we have a lot to get to. Like I said, there'll be some Husker talk on the show. We're going to have, by the way, DDT, Dr. Dane Todd. Right. He's going to be in hour number two. So it's action-packed. We have a ton of stuff. And, of course, your phone calls at 402-466-3776, 466-ESPN. That's how you can get in the show and join in on the conversation. I'm going to kick it off with this. I had other stuff planned to start the show. I had an idea of where I wanted to go. And then you two hit me with a question that I think is worth talking about. And no, it's not the would a silverback gorilla beat a bear, Willie J. That's not where I want to go with
gorilla
this.
Gorilla would win.
He was arguing with our local zookeeper as to who would argue. I'm actually on your team on this, and it's embarrassing. Our local zookeeper, Jungle John, does not know the correct answer to that. That's, to me, this is more of an embarrassing thing for
not
me.
If it's a Kodiak bear.
It's
Kodiak bear
you,
wins.
No, silverback gorillas, man.
Yeah.
I watched Leo DiCaprio beat one of these bears. If Leonardo DiCaprio can survive a bear attack and beat it, then
right,
with a musket, come on.
Well, I agree.
Let's go.
But Tarzan took on two gorillas and lived through it.
That's because Tarzan trained with gorillas and had gorilla-like powers and abilities.
Yeah,
like
Tarzan's
that's
gorilla-like powers
he
and abilities.
He did. And you're set. He was like a souped-up human with gorilla-like
he
powers
grew up
and abilities. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he could stand in there and do that.
Yeah.
Leo DiCaprio honestly did not even brush his teeth for that role. And he still took down a bear. Like, he probably had heart disease going on and all this stuff. And he still destroyed that bear.
Yeah.
So I just can't do it. Anyways, you asked a question about Tim Miles that I thought was super interesting. Because there's an article up right now on Nebraska Online. They talk football. And at the bottom, they have on there, and it says one prediction that they put up for the weekend, right? Their prediction for the next week. And here's what it says. It says, no one wants to see a person lose a job, but after 7 years and just one NCAA tournament bid, Tim Miles is more than likely in his final week as Nebraska's head coach. The prediction coming from this thing is that after Sunday's Iowa game and then a potentially tough matchup with Penn State on Wednesday at the Big Ten tournament, the Miles era will come to a close by Thursday morning.
Wow.
That is their prediction, and I tend to agree with that. I think Nebraska is going to swiftly move on their next head coach because I firmly believe that Fred Hoiberg is their target and they need to move and get this thing done before someone else gets fired, they lose their jobs, and he thinks about going elsewhere. I really think that that is my, with knowledge, thought process on this whole thing.
What if Nebraska comes out on senior day and those guys... And there's going to be a little bit of surprise, and I can't tell you about it, but there's going to be some guys that are fired up for senior
days. Is it already the one that they announced?
I don't know.
They announced that Roby was going to be wearing the jersey.
Okay, then yes, all right.
Yeah, I caught wind of that like a week ago, and I sat in here. I actually alluded to it, if you were paying attention, I alluded to it 2 days ago on the show.
So what happens if
I wasn't allowed to say anything.
Really?
But I said, why don't they have one of the seniors run out in a... in a jersey for... I asked Robin Washit that specific question because I knew it was going to happen. All right, go ahead.
That's awesome.
But if they go out and they beat Iowa...
I don't care.
But here's the thing. Regardless of what they
doesn't
do
matter.
In that tournament, they'll be 500 and they'll qualify for the NIT.
No.
Let me ask you this. Does the university then pass up on potential home games at PBA for revenue just simply so they can move on to their next head coach?
I mean, yes, because you're setting yourself up for the next, hopefully, decade with your new coach. If they're worried about one or two games in the NIT and making that money as opposed to getting the guy that they want in here, then that place, they all need to be fired. That place is being ran poorly.
Well, I mean, but
they all need to be canned.
If you're a player on that team, wouldn't
fire
you want to play a few more games?
They can play all they want to. I can still fire their coach. If you've made the decision to get rid of Miles, if anything, they better have a in principle, here is the contract sitting in front of the coach that they're about to sign, and regardless of what happens in this NIT, it's signed and sealed and delivered, and we're getting rid of this coach. If that's their decision. The only outcome, which is a highly unlikely outcome, that might keep Tim Miles' job is if he wins the NIT. Gets in it and wins it.
Yeah.
That is like the only thing I can think of that would potentially keep his job here.
Or they
especially
can't find...
considering, according to reports and people that have been at some of these events, that Bill Moos and Tim Miles can't even sit by each other.
Wow. Yeah, that's unhealthy. What if they can't find their...
What do you think?
It's hard to say because I think the expectations that were put on this season, it was pretty black and white on whether you make those expectations, there's going to be a future for you. If you don't make those expectations, and I don't want to hear excuses because, yeah, that sucks that one of your leaders in Copeland went down. Every team deals with injuries. But, Tim, ultimately it's on you that you only have four viable bodies that you can go to on that bench. Mm-hmm. That's no one's fault except for you on whether it was a recruiting miss or a guy decided to transfer. These were all laid out pretty much ahead of time. We knew. And when we were sitting at 11-2, we're thinking, okay, this is the season that we were supposed to have. And then for some other reason, you know, we can point at 17 different reasons on why it turned from right then and there. It's gone in the tank, and it is spiraling fast.
All right, so Willie J., you asked me a question. Mm-hmm. You posed a question to us before the show, and it's an interesting one, and I want to hear from the listeners, 402-466-3776. What's that question?
Is would you be mad if they did retain Tim Miles?
So would you, and here's the question, 466 ESPN, call in. I want to hear from you guys because I want to get the pulse of Husker Nation on this thing, okay? So I want to hear from you guys. Would you be mad if they retained Tim Miles? So here's how that feels to me, all right? Would I be mad? Yes. Why? Two main reasons, I'd say, are the two main reasons I'd be mad. If Tim Miles were somehow retained, it's because Bill Moos, in my opinion, failed to get any of his probably top five people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he absolutely failed.
Right.
And they looked and said, he's got people on this team already. He's got people coming in. Miles does. Our best option right now is to go back to the drawing board, let him have another run at this thing. We'll see what happens. In my mind, that's the only logical damn way I can think of this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'm mad, and I'm not mad at Tim Miles. I'm mad at Bill Moos.
Yeah.
To me, again, this is you walk in that office and sit him down and say, I brought you here for a reason. All right? And I'm giving you a lot of money to be able to go out and get coaches. So that's one reason I'd be mad. The other one, and I'd be mad's the wrong word, but I'd be frustrated. Because I don't know that there's much more. I think Miles has another magic season in him. Like, if he were here for two or three more years, I think they'd make the tournament one of those 3 years. They'd have another run. I think we'd be mostly frustrated during that time. And I think that the team next year, I don't have faith that he'd be able to round out that roster in the manner that it needs to be. Because there's a lot of guys on this roster, to be really real with you, that need to not be on this roster. And they need to go find some bigs and find some things to be able to make this team better for next season.
You know, we've talked about this on shows, I think, before the season even started, on whether Nebraska basketball fans and their expectations, if it was fair. Because we've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, looking at a team that's 15-15, and we're PO'd. We're upset about that.
Mm-hmm. Should be.
I mean, does that play a part too? Are we getting ahead of ourselves by being upset on where we believe we should be? Now, you say, you know, one tournament in 7 years, for a team that's never done it, I get it, but we're now in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're making a lot of money in the revenue because of the Big Ten. You've got new facilities. I don't think it's acceptable that we're making the tournament once out of 7 years. Now, if for some reason Tim is retained, am I going to be upset? I don't think upset is a word. I would say confused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that there needs to be some tweaking done wherever his next stop is, or if he stays here. As far as that offense, you know, I've made no bones about it. The 25-second three-man weave and chuck up a 30-foot shot is not going to work. But I think it's different than if you'd have told me that Bill Moos was going to keep Mike Riley for another year. I think that I would have been upset about. This wouldn't be an upset. It would be, I guess it'd be, like you said, disappointed.
I'd be really disappointed because it would be another year, I think, where you have talented guys on the team and you're going to middle around and be a 500 team probably. And because the roster would be pretty much a similar facsimile to what we have right now, one that has no depth and no bigs.
And you know, you and Bill have talked about this. The only thing that is going to get Nebraska from where it is currently as far as a basketball state and where we are traditionally, the thing to make that next jump is going to be somebody opening up that checkbook. Mm-hmm. That is what it's going
to
take.
Let's go to the phone lines. We got Jason calling in. What's up, Jason? You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, good,
I'd like to keep Miles, believe it or not.
Okay, what you thinking? What's your thought process?
Well, the thought process is I like the guy, number one. And number two, it seems like we always jump ship here. And I think it takes a learning curve. And I just don't think that a whole new learning curve would be helpful for Nebraska. And I season ticket holder, if that means anything.
Oh, it does. To me, that means a lot because you, in my opinion, you have a lot of skin in the game because those aren't cheap. So I hear you. I think that means a lot. Hey, man, I appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
You know, and Jason makes a good point. There's a guy who probably this last month has gone down there and watched this and stuck it out, you know, because it's – you've seen our attendance. We sold out. We were top 10, and it has dwindled. You know, the Purdue game, there was no one sitting in the 300-level seats.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's something an athletic director sees.
There was a blizzard going on during that.
I made it down there. But, you know, he said something about a learning curve. Now – In today's college basketball, where you see so many one and dones, very rarely does a coach, you know, if it's a good player, have him from freshman to senior year. Tim's had 7 years, so there's been a lot of guys that he has recruited and seen left, which I think has been more than ample time to get a good foothold on what he wants to make this program into.
I'll tell you this, and I think Jason, and I don't want to. I was going to ask him, but I don't want to speak for him, so I'll speak for myself. On the learning curve idea, if you're talking about a coach needing a learning curve, there is a reason why I'm standing up here and I am the leader of the fan club for Fred Hoiberg, okay? And it's not because Fred was born here. I think that's icing on the cake. That's a little side extra thing that I think is really nice that that's part of it. But he walked into Iowa State and in 5 seasons got him into the tournament 4 times. He left that place 100 times better than where he was at. He got hired in the NBA. You're on, you know, with Chicago during a rebuilding time. That's kind of tough. But I think Fred Hoiberg, if you go back and watch those games, you saw X's and O's. You saw good recruiting. You saw a lot of stuff that you would want to build around that he would bring in. And the learning curve, actually, in my opinion, would be people, I guess, around here catching up to what he's capable of doing. Like, it'd be us, you know, it'd be fans, it'd be people down at the university, whatever. The learning curve is we're taking basketball serious now, and we're hiring a guy that is a proven commodity, that that is one of the top coaching candidates that's going to come in here and say, I need A, B, C, D, E, F, and G on the side here, whether that's I need your plane whenever I damn well want it. You know, if I want to hire people from outside to come in and talk to my guys, you need to have a checkbook for me so I can do that. Although I'll continue to say that if you're a head coach and you can't motivate your guys and get them to be leaders without having a Marine here for more than 5 weeks, apparently 5 weeks was not enough for him to build a leader on this team or help these guys have confidence, then you are not cut out to be a Big Ten head coach, in my opinion. That's a harsh reality, I think is true. But if this staff, if Moose and Bounds and Green don't go hire someone like a Kelvin Sampson, a Fred Hoiberg, someone who is a proven commodity, and instead they hire a guy that is just rinse and repeat. Here comes in the next Tim Miles. And what I mean by that is a guy that's never coached at this level and needs to have a learning curve, then we're screwed.
Right.
I am done with that. So I agree with Jason in that sense, is if that's the route we're going, then I will sit back and let Miles stay as the head coach.
Let me ask you this.
I don't need some guy who's never coached at a huge level that has coached at a, you know, again, in a Big Ten level. Or like we talk about Musselman over there with Nevada. Musselman has played. How many times has he been in the NCAA tournament as a top 5 seed? Like, he's coached at this level that I'm talking about. So he's not a guy that I'd be furious if they went and got from Nevada. That guy's a hell of a coach. And to be honest with you, he's got an easier trek to get in the tournament and be a top 5 seed by staying at Nevada. Because college basketball is different than football. We have to think differently. Nevada is a Power 5 program. Nebraska basketball plays in a Power 5 conference, but we're not a Power 5 program if we're using that as like the end-all, be-all, top. You know how you
Right.
You use that as like a label for a, you know, the top schools. Gonzaga is a power five. Yes. Quadrant one, Gonzaga. Nebraska, not. You know what I mean? Like, you got to hire someone that's going to drag your program into that level, kicking and screaming, and has been at that level.
Is the Nebraska basketball program as a whole in a better shape today than the day that Tim took over?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Yeah, I think he hit his. This is at a different level, but this is a Bo Pelini situation to me. I don't think Bo was ever getting Nebraska any further than what he got outside of a magical season where he ended up winning 11 games. You always have that ability. Like, it's always there to have that amazing magical season, but I want consistency. Like, I want to win those games consistently. Tim Miles has the ability to magically take us to the tournament and win a game. Well, see, I don't doubt that he doesn't have that ability. I don't think he'll consistently turn it into that, mm-hmm. which is what the fan support suggests we should have. That's what the facilities suggest that we have. That's what the passion that we have around this program suggests we should be. So now it's time to put up some money and match that.
This year, it almost had like a Doc Sadler feel to it. Just how it lethargic play at times. Really no sense of direction, and that's why I pose that question to you, it's almost like we've come full circle. Yeah, we had some hopes and some expectations. You had the year with Pettaway and Pitchford where it was just a magical season, but it seems 7 years later that we really haven't gained much ground at all.
See, I think we got better recruits here. Obviously, the facilities helped that. So there's some factors that help Miles along the way.
Right.
I think... The type of players that we can bring in now is at an elevated level than when Sadler was here. I think Miles, as an ambassador of the program with national media, our program gets talked about a lot more. Now, part of that's because we're in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. but we get talked about a lot more. We've been thought of on the bubble. We've flirted with being in the top 25. There wasn't very often where that ever happened
the previous writers like us.
Right, however many years. You know, so that's, I say it's in a better spot, but I don't know how much better it can get from here under the current coach. That's how I feel.
And Jason, the last caller, he made a point, and I've brought this up before, that he says that he really likes Tim Miles.
You know, I like
he's
Tim.
He's a great guy. But love if you look Tim. Back also, Mike Riley, find one person that would say anything bad about him as a person, not a football coach,
right.
but as a person. Real nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, that was not winning us games.
No.
And so, you know, having a nice head coach, one who is great with the student section and one who is funny on Twitter, I mean, that's maybe 4 or 5% of the game.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, this is a business, and the fans are Nebraska fans with expectations, and we need a few more check marks in the W column.
Would we be having this conversation if we made the tournament last year, which we should have?
No, he'd be in a better place.
Yeah.
He'd be still here.
Because we should have made that.
I think the expectations would have been even higher, to be honest with you.
That team was that team last season was better than this team.
Oh, by far.
Much better. Like, that team this year, because of the depth on the roster and all that stuff. But guys, that's what happens. Like, that's, you know, that's part of coaching. That's part of Bo Pelini would have stayed longer had they not put 1 second back on that clock at Texas.
Oof.
He wins the, you know what I mean? Like, he wins the Big 12 championship.
Not having
there is moments that make or break careers 100%. And that was a moment where, and the hardest part about that Nebraska deal last year, and again, it's unfortunately kind of part of it, but Bill kept saying it all year. We had a guy, Dave, who called the show, who's a Vegas guy that, you know, he knows his stuff when it comes to gambling and betting on things, and he kept saying it too, that Nebraska hadn't earned the reason, like they hadn't earned the ability for people to look at him and say, we have no doubt that this team should be in because they're Nebraska. We have a history here. Yeah, no history. So they were one of the teams, not only that was left out, but look how far down the list they were for the NIT. Like, it wasn't even close.
No, 5 seed.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Played on the, they didn't have enough.
But then what happened to when they got in there? They wet the bed.
Yeah, they pouted about it and we're 0-1.
So I don't know. Here's the deal. If they're going to make a move on Tim, it needs to be a coach that is a proven, so there is no learning curve. It's someone who, again, I gave you my short list, whether it's down at Houston, Kelvin Sampson. I would love Musselman to come here. You'd pay him a lot of money. I'd be fine with it. Pay whatever money it takes. Fred Hoiberg is number one on my list. I think he could succeed here with, he does the transfer thing, but he also brings in players that he supports around it, builds a complete team, you know, and that kind of stuff. He's got a little bit more sway too that he would bring into it, but, or a little more swagger, I suppose, with the players. But if it's going to be another, let's go get some guy that coaches at, you know, like Tim Miles was, he was at Colorado State. He did get a win in the tournament. He did have some Nebraska kids on there. But when you looked at that Colorado State team, it wasn't built for longevity. It was a good run by him.
Yes.
And I don't need that again. I want someone who's done it at this level. But I also don't want, and I'll tell you this, I don't want some retread that has been messing around being mediocre at this level after having whatever success maybe they had. Because I've heard some names people have thrown out where it's like, yeah, that'd be a great name 15 years ago.
Right.
You know, this dude's 60-something now. I don't need him here. Right? Yeah. He ain't going to have Nike money at Nebraska. All right? So I don't need Dana Altman here. If Dana Altman comes to this school, the amount of criticism that will come from me is going to be off the charts. And then if he proves me wrong and he ends up taking this team to new levels, I'll say I'm sorry. But I think Dana Altman would be a horrible mistake for this university.
61 years old. He's that
horrible mistake.
Not a lot of time left on the clock.
I would need to know what assistant he brings with him that is going to be his guy to take over for him.
In 5 years.
Right. Dana Altman would be a horrible choice for this university.
I don't
think, and I will continue to say it.
I don't think he'd leave. He's got good recruits.
By the way, Creighton, cheaters. Makes me happy.
My heart dropped for like a few seconds last night.
Did you see last night on Twitter? If you guys missed this, what was it, LSU? So it was a Louisiana school and a Nebraska school reportedly had money given from to a coach, I think it was, or from a coach to this guy that was involved in this whole, you know, Adidas deal and all this stuff that's going on. And it said in there, all they had, because it's in a court document, it just said school one, Nebraska, like a Nebraska school.
Yeah.
So all these Creighton fans started tweeting at us, oh, Miles couldn't even win while cheating, all this stuff. And then it comes out that it was Creighton. Oh, my God. It was the greatest thing I'd ever seen on Twitter.
Life is good.
Made me so happy. The C for Creighton stands for cheating.
No, I mean, if they kept Miles, you know, I would only be happy just because I like the guy. I always have. But I just don't think he could run an offense, a good offense again. And that's just why, you know, get him out of here.
I'll continue to – I'll say it like 8,000 times over. It needs to be someone who the learning curve is not a learning curve. The only learning curve they have is that they're at Nebraska now. They're in the Big Ten. A lot of this feels familiar because they've got a great, you know, situation that they're walking into in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And maybe the only learning curve from them is, okay, it's a little different perspective for me bringing people flying them into Nebraska instead of, say, Iowa State or wherever it might be that they might have coached previously. So I'm learning there a little bit, but for the most part, they're walking in here guns a-blazing and just hitting that ground running. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. There's too much support and love from the fans around here for Nebraska to mess around with someone who is an up-and-coming coach that needs to get their feet wet a little bit more. Like, I firmly believe if you bring in a guy like a Kelvin Sampson or a Fred Hoiberg or whatever, they'd come here, turn this thing around, and they'd be our coach for a long time.
Oh, I agree. I mean, just how you're embraced, you know, by the fans and looked at, not to mention, depending on the age, too, if, you know, if it's a coach who maybe still has kids, you know, realizing what a great place that Lincoln is to raise a family. You find the right coach, this would be the great setting. And you've alluded to, you know, Fred having the family here, some that works in at the university. It's just a matter of casting out the right bait to reel him in.
A couple different tweets coming in real quick, and then we'll take a break. We've got Aaron Nebraska saying 7 years is one hell of a learning curve. Jake Sutton says, quote, find someone to say something bad about Mike Riley. He tweets in a gift that says, I volunteer as tribute to be able to do that. Jake Kaiser tweets in the show, says Dana Altman would instantly be the best Nebraska coach ever. He would. I think technically you'd be right, although I did like me some Danny Nee. Good news, both of those two are willing to cheat a little bit to get to where they needed to, so maybe Dana brings that back a little bit. That would be a very short totem pole we're talking about. That'd be like if I was out on a basketball floor and they were like, hey, Nick's the tallest guy here. That doesn't mean anything.
But he's also the oldest.
Yes, I'm the oldest too, and I'm probably washed up a little bit. So how about that? Let's get into that a little bit. I'm telling you, Dana Allman had better have, there better be an amazing succession plan in place. That's for damn sure. And the funny thing too is up at Nike headquarters, he's got himself some great recruiting classes. They've also been named in some of these deals. Like, he's got a little bit of smoke around him in terms of possibly getting in trouble with the NCAA. Like, I think it'd be a mistake. I think that is the
7 foot six centers don't grow on trees.
No, they don't. They bought themselves a really good one. I don't think that's gonna fly here. And honestly, I think he is at 61 years of age. I think it'd be a mistake to bring a guy like that in, because I think even if he had some success in 5 or 6 years, we're sitting in the same spot going, all right, who's going to be our next coach? Maybe Ty Lue's been fired by the Lakers now because LeBron's retiring, so we can get him in. Like, I don't need that. I want a guy like Hoiberg. I want a guy like Sampson. I want a guy like that I think is going to be here for a while, that's going to build a good program.
Then you hope that Moose has done his homework. And that, you know, he's got a target, just like he did. Obviously, Scott's a little bit different. I mean, obviously, the stars aligned with him coming back home. But that was the guy that Moose wanted. He went out,
Kelvin
got him.
Kelvin Sampson, 63, by the way.
Is he? Yeah.
He looks so much younger. He's aged so well.
What about, can we go out and get John Wooden?
Yeah, there you go. Make that happen.
Is he still alive?
I already told you. I am the leader of the Fred Hoiberg Brigade, all right? That's who I want. And it has nothing to do with him being from here. I think he'd be the best coach for this place.
No, I agree. Plus, we already saw what he looks like in red. I mean, let's get him down here.
I know, right? Somebody call the people with all the money and tell them to front this thing and make it happen.
Seriously.
Somebody get out there.
I'm with you, man. I want Freddie, too.
Who are the richest people around Nebraska? Let's see. We need Bill Hooks. We need that Hawks dude that's names on all the buildings.
Right.
The guy that owns all the railroads, Warren.
That guy, Warren dude, but he's a Creighton fan, I think. I don't need him involved.
No.
If Hawks gets involved, we'll have enough money to buy we could buy four coaches if we wanted to. Just get that guy involved and tell him, get out there and go get Fred Hoiberg.
The guy who owns Twitter's from Nebraska.
There you go. Get him out there and tell him to do it.
Is he really?
One of them. One of the founders.
I wish I would have founded a social media.
Yeah, there's still time, man.
Well, I got to start being creative.
Yeah, you do.
New platform.
Now get Freddie here. Sign the $8 million a year.
You go get Mr. Hawks and say, yo, man, we need some more of that money, and we're going to bring in the mayor. All right? Let's get the mayor at Nebraska.
The fact that we're even having this conversation.
I'll back out of the race. You're the actual mayor.
Yeah.
I will be. I'll be the real. Me and Hooks will be the real mayor, but he'll be the mayor.
Okay.
You know.
20 years ago, nobody cared who the head coach of Nebraska basketball was, is.
I know.
So the sense that we're having this conversation is good.
Well, you know why that is? I have a theory. We Nebraska fans, and I'm going to say I went to the university. Listen, I cover the teams. I make no bones about it. I'm Husker Nick, for God's sakes. It says it on my license plate.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that we're great fans, and we love being great fans almost to a stubborn level. And like, we'll go out of our way to make sure that we support everything. I love it. It's the best. Like, it's the best. It is our own like narcissistic attitude that we are the best fans in the world that we put pressure on the university because of it. I would want nothing less than this.
Well, it was my wife's turn for the TV last night, and by gosh, she was going to watch the end of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, whatever that was.
Yep.
And I told her, I said, I am not missing the women's playing in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
I had to go a few blocks down to the local bar because, you know, it's a women's team, but I'm going to support them and I'm going to watch them.
Nice. They lost, didn't they? Didn't they lose? They lost last night.
They did. But that's the kind of fans that we've now have become accustomed to.
Yeah.
That we're Nebraska. We expect to win at women's rifle and men's indoor skydiving. That's just how it is.
That's a thing.
No.
It should be. You know, my favorite part about our ladies' sand volleyball team. Have you noticed that all the photos, it looks like they're on a beach while they're practicing and stuff? If you've ever been in there, they have a giant, they took a giant fathead and made it look like it's blue sky, ocean, beaches, the whole nine yards.
That's awesome.
And then bring in a dump truck full of sand.
No, there is. It's a whole, so if you're in the gym, it's a cool place. So like Boyd Epley has his office that sits up kind of like, if you've ever been to a gym where they got like the raised track around it, you know, picture that a little bit. Like, his office is up here. You walk down some stairs. There's the weight room that every other sport uses except football, because football has their own facility. So you got this weight room where everyone's at. And then there is, kind of like when you were in high school where they have that big curtain that you pull across the floor.
Yeah.
There's one of those, and it stops halfway, and there's a legit sand pit for a volleyball. That's where they practice.
That's cool.
And it's all painted. The walls are not painted, but it's a big picture of a ocean and beach background. And I asked them about it, and they said, well, when they play in these tournaments and stuff, that's what visually they see instead of a gym and that kind of stuff. So it's more for like training your eyes so that when they're playing out, that's what I was told.
One step further, if they
need
me, how
cool is that?
I would be the guy that comes down there and sits in a lawn chair with one of those fruity drinks and little umbrellas. Yeah. If they needed to see that, too, there I'd be go. More than happy to do that.
Hey, that'd be a sick gig. Join the sand volleyball tournament, go to Hawaii one week, and then Florida the next. Man.
All right, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, another thing that happened this week, we have our sensational freshman that the coaches have begun hyping up. Last year, it was Mo Washington. This year, it is Wandale Robinson, and I'm excited to talk about it a little bit because, guys, I'm ready to start daydreaming about 3 years, hopefully, of watching our guy Martinez throwing to our new guy Robinson back after this.